Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of June, recording at 9:14 p.m., and that's British summertime. And a beautiful summer it is over here. Now, first the highlights today. Asian stock markets, very steady, pushing out some further gains, or pushing those upward trends higher, a new closing high for China, which is exerting that leash effect, as I mentioned before. The European stock markets were mostly weaker here today, and that's partly because they closed before Wall Street really kicked into gear, and the U.S. market opened in a somewhat subdued fashion. Remember, it gave up most of yesterday's gains late in the trading, but it's had a powerful day in here today. Well, don't want to exaggerate, up over 2% on the three main indices, so that's not at all bad. And the S&P, for instance, is back up at 920. So that's an upward dynamic, breaking that little downward momentum. But more of that, more on that in a moment. Long-dated government bonds were steady in here today. The U.S. 30-year is up 1.1-21, the Treasury 10-year is up over futures up over a full point. The dollar's a little bit weaker in here today. So is sterling. And precious metals were firm. Nice rally on platinum. And pushed up over 1,200 at one stage. Currently trading at 196.80. That's up 21.60. Gold is firm. Up $8 at 939.45. Industrial metals are getting some upside follow-through after yesterday's gains. And, well, the agricultural commodities are mostly firm as well, although just hesitating here, checking when corn seems to be down a little bit, but most of the agricultural commodities are steadier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I think today is another one of those days that strongly suggests by maxim that liquidity trumps everything. So there's a lot of money sloshing around in the system, and central banks have fallen over each other in their efforts to declare that there were going to be no changes in monetary policy. In other words, rates are not going up anytime soon. Now, that's hardly surprising. I think the people who were talking about green shoots of recovery were, my comments some weeks ago when that started was that these are likely to be mirages more often than not, unless we're talking about the fastest growing regions of the world. And that's China, India, and then the resources producers such as Brazil will be resuming their growth fairly quickly if they haven't already. But it's a long, hard slog for the OECD economies. That's not the end of the world, but it just means that they are dull by comparison. They're a drag on global GDP growth, and they're a drag on global stock market performance. But again, with all that liquidity sloshing around, the markets are still in not too bad form at all. Now, I've been talking about a reaction, and then feeling that could easily spill into a correction, and that may still be the case. But what we have now does not qualify as a correction. It's a reaction. A lot of short-term upward trends were broken. Those were the upward trends from the March lows. Not all of them, but a fair number of them, and I think probably all of the OECD economies, possible exception of Japan, but I think all the Western ones probably broke those short-term from the March lows upward trends. But it has certainly not been a rout. And given the firming that's taking place Here in the States, that's a positive leash effect at a time when investors have been nervous, and these markets are ranging. So, best case, we're getting a ranging consolidation before the upward trends are extended. Worst case, they'll range and then they'll fall back again, and we'll see the Western markets go into an extended phase of base formation extension. Now, I think that's quite a high risk overall, but again, there's no guarantee. There never is in these markets. I just give you my best guess on any given day and try to do it within the context of some not reasonably logical long-term themes backed by the chart action overall. But suffice it to say, today these stock markets do not appear ready to give up the ghost. But it's early days here in what has been at least a reaction. Now, moving on to the long-dated government bonds, this is impressive action. They've looked good for a while. Remember, back earlier in the month, they became very oversold and were described, by anyone looking at the charts, it described them as candidates for technical rallies, as Owen and I have been saying. I also said that those are tradable rallies. Any overextended trend that begins to react is a tradable move. But I'm not inclined to participate, feeling spoiled for choice, and there are other opportunities. But it doesn't mean they aren't going up, and they are still going up. It's a good action. So I think this technical rally, and I don't think it's any more than that, in the long-dated government bond prices, I see no evidence that it's over. That's the point I want to make. The U.S. dollar, however, now that also was experiencing something of an oversold technical rally, and it's given up a lot of it, and that's really quite interesting. So this is definitely ranging, whereas, say, those long-dated government bond futures are trending upwards. The dollar is not trending upwards. It's ranging. And currencies that are in form, like the New Zealand dollar, are really doing quite well. Now, most of you, I think most subscribers will know that I have a chunk of cash in New Zealand dollars. My main cash holding has been in New Zealand dollars for a while. I didn't time the entry well. I did it to get yield and because I thought sterling wasn't going to do well. But then we had the proverbial Mrs. Watanabe bringing her cash back home and commodity currencies suffered. I continued to bag the 8%+ yield, but that's now down to 2.35% on my latest rollover this month, but that's not bad compared to interest rates in most other places. But more importantly, I wouldn't be hanging around if that were all that was in prospect. But more importantly, the New Zealand dollar, as I mentioned, is back in form. And if that breaks downwards, I beg your pardon, if sterling breaks downwards against the New Zealand dollar, then I will be tempted, depending on how far it goes. But if it hovering around the 255 level, if it breaks, let me just put that chart up so that I know what I'm talking about. And forgive me for the, I see so many numbers. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. Yeah. It's at 253.71 in here today. Now, 250 or thereabouts has been at the lower side of the range really since March. And if this with 260 being really sort of the upper boundary, so quite a tight range. Now, if this breaks down, and I'm going to look at a very long-term chart now, If sterling breaks down against the New Zealand dollar, as I suspect and am hoping that it will, then that would open the door to 240, but there's a more important low, which was reached back in 1995 when sterling fell down to 220. The point I'm making is that if the New Zealand dollar does extremely well here, I would be strongly tempted to take that capital gain and then sit in sterling or some other currency. I still don't like sterling, so I'll have to put my thinking cap on in terms of what would be a good alternative or a superior alternative. Might be one of the Asian currencies. It might be, I mentioned before that I had wanted to buy the Brazilian real, but was told that I couldn't do that without changing bank accounts or going into a Brazilian bank. I'm too lazy to make that change. And I might consider the Norwegian crown. So I need to think about that. But the point is, in these markets, if we get a good surge in a currency, it's usually a good idea to take the profit, because that country's central bank will respond to complaints from exporters and try to stem the move or reverse it in the process. So, currencies. The dollar is not looking very steady at the moment, and the dollar probably needs another upward dynamic to signal that it's going to see more than the pretty modest rally that it's seen to date. Now, meanwhile, that weaker dollar has firmed those precious metals once again, and it's also firmed the whole commodity sector, and not least the industrial metals. And we also have crude oil, and I thought crude oil might be on the way down, and it lost upward momentum sort of around that $70-$72 range, but here we are today back above 70. So again, the surprises are mostly on the upside in these commodities and stock markets. Now tomorrow, I'm going to be completing early because I have a function, and I will also be getting in early, so to provide some reasonable copy. And I'm also I'm almost certainly do another look at global charts, because there's so many interesting things going on right now. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.